All right, time for the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road here on 102.5-106.3 The Game, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. We are broadcasting for the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. I'm Joe Rex Road. He's Paul Kaharsky, in for a fifth day here for Robbie Stanley. Nick Keyser producing.
You know, listen to the people applauding.
I got to say, man, listen, you know, our intro, obviously, it's like me yelling, Biscuit Burr, yelling dumb crap, like as I'm wont
it's
to
time
do.
Time for a freshening, but Nick's not one to
freshen. No, that's pretty new. That's a pretty new, but they took Biscuit out, and then people were complaining about
it. I don't make them, man. Don't bitch at me so early.
Easy, Kelly. Easy. You'll talk when you called
up. An objectionable word right away, but it is a 6 o'clock hour. But I think the funniest thing about that whole thing is edge rusher, right tackle, just monotone saying positions like that. That's the Robbie contribution, you know.
He's not well served.
it is pretty amazing. So today we have. Let's see. We've got Stilly. So I'll see if I can. I'll see if you and Stilly can actually have a conversation.
Still Billy.
And I can, the Still Billy, and see if I can, get out of the way and we can have a nice conversation. He's at 7, TD at 8. You've got some good topics today. We're going to talk about
I loaded you up with topics last night. Owners. And then I look at your list, and none of them are on there.
Well, at that point, I had moved on to picking up daughter. And then making dinner, you know what I mean? Like, I've updated the grid. We've got some stuff in there from you. But I did want to also, since you've had this week with us, and we are going to talk college hoops too, thank goodness. It's a huge rivalry weekend coming up in college basketball. But that we'll get into that later in the show. But what have we learned with you this week? And I'm going to have you rank the Titans issues, which Robbie and I have done, but you have not done. But I want to know what we've learned. We've learned that you're very good at getting listeners to scream at me. I've got listeners screaming at me about my draft choice. I got listeners screaming at me about Elon Musk. I didn't bring him up. I got listeners screaming at me about yesterday the J-Rob thing. Oh my gosh, people are so mad at me about J-Rob.
It's like
I'm this huge apologist for J-Rob. I'm just saying, like 66-48. Is that the record?
You were a very big apologist for J-Rob yesterday.
We'll have
the biggest apologist for J-Rob on in an hour.
I guess maybe he and I can team up again. I'm just 66-48. That's the record, right? You said the record wrong.
The correct record is
66-48. Even if you take into account the 7 losses that he wasn't around for.
Yeah, which should count against him.
Yeah, that's fine. But 66-48,
look,
like...
I'm not denying... I mean, we could go on and on and on in this. He was excellent for a while. And then he put them in an immense crater.
Right. Again, I agree with that. It's like, what's the final word that you apply to it, you know? I mean, that's really all it is. I say pretty good. You say bad.
I say it was pretty good, and then it was really bad.
But again, it was way better than pretty good, and then it was terrible. So then there's one word for all of it. Not this, that. What is the final analysis of the whole thing?
Well, I don't know how you're averaging out really good and really bad and coming out with good.
Pretty good.
So you're averaging out really good and really bad and to pretty good.
To 66-48? Yeah, pretty good. Uh-huh. Is that crazy?
Yes, because because the remnants of what general managers do have a lasting effect.
Mm-hmm.
Some of those losses after the fact where it got really bad are a result of roster holes that he created.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm aware of this too. Like I think we both know what happened pretty well. It's just a matter of how you want to characterize it.
Yeah, you wash his hands of all of it.
Yeah, exactly. By saying pretty good overall, I'm washing his hands. I'm not washing his hands of anything. But I am saying that the failures since he left are allowing people to over blame him and over scapegoat him, when at this point it's like, okay, you guys could have done the last two off seasons whatever the collaboration was, whoever made this or that decision. We wouldn't have to be talking as much about him. That's my point.
Okay, well, you hard enough on Rand then?
I think so. Yeah.
I don't know if you were proportionally.
I'm okay with Rand sleeping on a plane, but I mean, I think I was, I think fair.
It's really journalistically damaging, the joking that you do.
Oh, good God.
It. It really
journalistically
is.
Damaging.
It is.
Oh, my God. How so?
How
I can't
so?
Have a
because
little
you,
fun?
Well, no, because you turn it into a joke and people take, I hope, you more seriously, most seriously out of everybody here as a journalist, and they say, oh, well, Joe doesn't take that report seriously, and so it's not a serious report. Where it's a very serious report, where a lot of people who saw Rand's behavior over his 2 years had a lot of issues with the way he worked
mm-hmm.
in a meaningful way. And so for you to consistently joke about it demeans it when it was actually part of the reason why he got fired.
I'm demeaning the people who think it's a big deal that he slept on a plane, and I will not back off that. It's stupid. I don't care. It's dumb. I don't, like I said,
I don't blame you.
A
share of the people with the team who work in the front office who saw the way he conducted himself as not a fitting example for them, not fitting leadership, not matching their ethic. You're calling all of them dumb. And I think you're endorsing the culture problem that existed with the front office during his 2 years.
I'm saying
that's
a bad example.
Which
now, again, I don't blame you for writing it.
Which I think was as big a problem during the 2 years as personnel things he did and stuff like that. And that's not the only example I gave.
Sure.
But that's the one that you're
I'm going to make fun of that forever. And again, it's not making fun of you. It's not making fun of the report. It's not
well,
diminishing.
It turns out that it's
not diminishing journalism.
It's effectively doing
it. Your sources who thought that was some great example, I think they're idiots. And yes, you can please tell them that for me. I mean, I'm sorry. Like, that's just so I, yes, I'm sorry. That's joke fodder now, you know? I mean, every once in a while, I might also say, hey, your boy Brinker, you know? We know we're joking around about that.
Right? I just think it's a mistake by you.
Yeah, I don't apologize for that. I don't think that example is effective. I understand that there's more to it, and I understand that, you know, there were people that,
It's almost akin of like Chris Sanders saying, well, nobody watched film on the planes when I was coming home, and not realizing that the technology to watch film on planes didn't exist when he played.
Really? You couldn't have? I'm trying to think. Back then?
There were no iPads in 1999.
There were no iPads. Could you not have watched film on a computer in like 2000?
On a computer? What computer?
I don't know.
A black and white, like...
You couldn't have gotten, like, an 8mm?
You needed a phone cord to plug into to get on the internet in 1999.
Yeah. Well, that's a fair point. Apparently, you got a Valentine's request on YouTube.
Happy Valentine's Day, everyone.
Is someone asking him to be their Valentine?
Fortunately, my wife wasn't awake this morning for me to forget to tell her.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to stop along the way.
We will not be spending time on this show, as virtually every other show in town will do today, with what's your greatest Valentine's Day memory? What's the best Valentine? Oh, my God. Are you kidding me?
Andrew? You think Andrew's going to do that today?
Maybe Andrew won't, but every other show will. What's your fondest? What's the best Valentine? I doubt it. what's your favorite Valentine's Day memory? What's the best Valentine's Day gift you ever got? Excellent. Coming up in the next segment, we've already done what's the best Valentine's Day gift you ever got. We'll do what's the best Valentine's gift you ever gave.
What about the worst? I mean, we could do a full hour on this. We could break this down.
No. Don't get ahead, Joe. We're doing that in the 5 o'clock hour.
These are really good ideas. Now, here is a topic that you brought up last night, which I think is very interesting. So, the Cleveland Browns. Okay, so first of all, how many cold weather stadiums do we have left? Now, Buffalo,
they
are sticking with
a stadium that's built, modeled after Tottenham, which I visited the last time the Titans were overseas, which is a terrific, terrific stadium. They're way over budget there, but they decided to build an outdoor stadium.
So they may be the lone wolf here.
Football purists, that's nice. In terms of Buffalo, first off, that stadium is slated to cost as much as the stadium here. You would think things would be a little bit cheaper in Buffalo, and they're going to spend $2.1 or $2.2 billion for a roofless stadium in Buffalo, New York. Look, I'm all for it. I want to watch outdoor football in Buffalo. But if I live in Buffalo, I'd like some concerts in you know, what, they have 3 good months of weather in Buffalo.
Yeah.
I'd like some concerts and some events year-round, that whatever. I think if you're publicly financing part of that, it makes sense. So there's a debate there. But I think when Cleveland is on the verge of voting about a proposal that would create an indoor stadium there in the suburbs, I'm wondering, as stadiums turn over in places like Chicago and Cincinnati and eventually Philadelphia and New York, in 20 years, in 30 years, is outdoor football in the Northeast going to be a rarity? And is it going to be Buffalo and Lambeau? We'll go Midwest, yeah, too.
I mean, Arrowhead, you can't mess with that either, right?
No, but there's a new stadium coming in Kansas City's future, too. And I think, you know, you can look to Nashville as part of this. The state gave $500 million to this project on the condition that it's an indoor venue.
Yeah.
Because why? It wants the tourism dollars that come with WrestleMania and Final Four and National College Football Playoffs and all these concerts that are year-round events that make it more than a 18, 19, 20 event building.
Yeah, you've ticked me off all over again on an aspect of the Titan Stadium. We will get to that when we come back. Robbie and Rexha, 1025, 1063. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexha, 1025, 1063 The Game. You want to join the conversation? The phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, 615-737-1025. We also have the YouTube chat going today. We're gonna mine the YouTube chat, right, PK?
We are. I need to get in the YouTube
chat. I'm not in the YouTube chat yet. So, but according to Keezer, the YouTube chat has a lot of love going on today. Love for you, PK.
That's
be,
nice.
Be my Valentine.
I'm in there.
So, first of all, I do love some outdoor football. Now, you know, I say that, and it's like, do I want to sit in that? You know, if I were,
no,
a fan,
I want other people.
If I were a fan going to the game, yeah, I want to watch on TV and be like, man, that looks awesome, and be warm while they're doing that. But it is like, think of the incredible games, not just at, like, you know, obviously Lambeau, Arrowhead. Think about, you know, the Tuck Rule game in New England. Obviously, like you said, Philly, the Giants, Jets, they all play outside.
Washington.
Yeah. That's true. Then you're getting into, I guess you're getting into this region. That's where.
And Washington's talking outside. They're going to build at the old RFK, and I don't think there's any talk of that being indoor.
Yeah, and that's, you know, then you're getting into the sort of the mid-Atlantic, and it's a little bit, you know, a little bit different. Their weather is basically like our weather. It's like almost the exact same typically, right?
Washington is not our weather.
Yeah, it's not too different, man. I mean, and I know this just because it's, I mean, you know, just like talking to my family and stuff, and like, you know, when we go back, it seems like it's always pretty close. But, you know, it's certainly different than, it's, well, not so, the same. Washington
less
is different than New
snow,
York.
For sure.
Yes. I mean, I used to go to school in Virginia and in Northern Virginia, and it was still the point where it's like, you know, ask Johnny, you get a couple inches of snow, yeah, that's going to shut everything down.
Yeah.
Whereas in Philly, no. I mean, you know, Philly, New York, that's not the case. But I do hope that we don't lose outdoor.
But your division's endured this. I mean, Minnesota's been indoor for a long, long time.
Same with the Lions.
And the Lions have been indoor for a long time. And that division, you know, so Green Bay is more
they might
special.
Be on an island.
Is Buffalo going to be, you know, ultimately more special? I mean, New England's not heading indoor anytime soon. That stadium's very good. I think it's got endurance. It'll be renovated. But they're not heading to a new building anytime soon. The Jets and Giants aren't heading to a new building.
Yeah, I mean, that's only, what,
anytime,
10 years old?
Anytime soon, maybe 15 or 12.
Yeah.
But I wonder in 30 years what things will look like.
So here, and this is, look, I understand, first of all, just the Nissan Stadium as it is, I understand it doesn't have the amenities, all that stuff, and you compare it to other stadiums of the league, it had to do something. But I do love the outdoor football on grass here, and most Sundays it's good. Do you remember the cost? Because I remember at the time throwing a fit about it, and I think it was $300 or $400 million more to have the retractable roof. I think you poo-pooed this too at the time. I really hate that they didn't do that. You're going to invest this much in a stadium. I mean, really, what's a little bit more relative to the total cost to do that? Because there are going to be so many Sundays. There always will be so many Sundays here where it would be worthwhile. There, the Titans' spin on that was, well, the Colts hardly ever do that. The funny thing about that is, I mean, I think this year the Colts had like 4 days where it was open. Half of their home schedule.
Yeah, but they really don't open it much.
But that's 4.5 hours north of here.
There are some that are really troublesome, too. Atlanta had all kind of troubles with theirs. Now, they went super fancy on it, and they couldn't just open and close. It had to be a camera shutter, you know, fancy.
Right.
But I do think, like, that's not getting you grass, which is part of what you want. I would take it
without. Yeah, I mean, I think grass would be better too. You can do that. Arizona does that.
I think it changes other things. I mean, people aren't going to care about this, but there's an open air press box, which goes away and gets hermetically sealed if there's a retractable roof. I don't have a problem with it. Once you go indoor, it's indoor. I just don't think it's asking for trouble, and it's not an amenity that's used often enough to.
But I think it could have been here.
Worthwhile.
I think it could have and would have been here.
Maybe more here, but it's also easy for you to say, "What's another $500,000?"
Well, it is easy for me to say. Sure, we're all sitting here telling the billionaire what to do with the money. I mean,
well, it's not all her. It would have been
exactly.
More taxpayer money.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
And you and I don't live in the, you know, the, yeah. In the Davidson County.
That's true. But what do you think about the arrangement? I mean, the way that they've tied it to tourism, it seems, you know, it's the most public money, but I feel like it's a pretty effective strategy.
Well, it's also tied to those PSL dollars, which is, you know, I don't know how people are buying those with the numbers. Now, it's about 40% sold. I talked to somebody about this last week, about 40% sold, and obviously they're getting to the quote-unquote cheaper stuff. They went most expensive towards cheapest. That mosh pit is 300-plus people that you know, were screened and had to apply and everything, the craziest, including Mr. First Down, a friend of mine.
Nice.
And Chili Pepper and all of the most crazy fans. One question I have that I haven't had answered, maybe people know the answer. I'm going to feel disoriented. I feel like that it runs east-west instead of north-south. That seems weird to me. And I also have trouble. It seems like I've had trouble with this in baseball parks. I don't know if I'll have trouble with it. But a rectangular field in a square building feels weird to me. And I've had that in baseball stadiums in Houston and in Phoenix. The geometry of a baseball park in a building that doesn't seem like it should fit.
Yeah.
Like when you're walking in and then you get in. I spent a lot of time sitting there feeling out of sorts that it like doesn't work. So I'm curious about that.
Seems like a you problem, but I know what you're saying. Well, I mean, look, the illustrations of the place are, I mean, it's like, It does not look to me like a, you know, like a football
stadium. It looks like an office building from the sides, and from above it looks
like kind of like a whole, like a really fancy Whole Foods sort of thing.
Yeah,
kind of deal. I mean, all the mock-ups, especially of the interior, are
inside
awesome.
It looks spectacular. Outside, yeah. I don't know that that's the most important part. The blimp shot. I'm not particularly excited by blimp shots. I'm much more concerned with the interior.
Would you take a nap on a blimp?
I could nap in I think in any flying object. Maybe a helicopter would be difficult, but I'm a world class plane sleeper.
That would be See, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I get on the thing, and now I struggle now more than I used to. But it used to be like as soon as you get airborne, I can't even keep my eyes open.
But I'm not surrounded by colleagues who are working, teammates who are working.
45-minute flight. Michael M. Madison says, Paul just has a stick up his ass. Most people have a negative bias towards journalism anyway. Hey, what are you saying, Michael? Joe's making fun of the fact that Rand sleeping helped do him in, not even the validity of the claim. Doesn't really move the needle as much as Paul thinks it does. Again,
most people have a negative bias towards journalism. So me and my closest Nashville friend, who's the highest ranking journalistic publication there is in America in sports, you should just be anti-journalism too, Joe, since everybody...
I'm not anti-journalism.
But in this guy's logic, since everybody's anti-journalism, we should, the two of us journalists, we should just be anti-journalism too. What an idiotic statement by that guy. Turn the radio off. You're a moron.
Oh, my goodness. I like Michael and Madison. And, it says
he's a complete idiot.
It's actually Michael and Madison in Madison.
Moron.
That's I probably should have read the whole message before I
used idiot.
It. I just read
it. I'm infuriated by that. It's so – the logic behind it is so bad. Hang up and go into your fourth grade student's class with him or her today.
You're overstated. Again, I just have a problem. I'm not a fan of, and I've taken part in it. So, like, to be totally clear, I've taken part in source stories where people are able to take shots at people. You know, I mean, it's
representative of a big trend, stuff of which I could not write.
I understand.
Wasn't the only thing. You're cool with him drafting Will Levis at the beginning of the second round, not having stayed for his pro day? You got to see everything the guy does. That's cool?
Sure. No, I'm not saying that at all. Again, I just
so bring that up as often as you bring up the plane sleeping.
But the plane sleeping is funny.
All done.
But the plane sleeping part is funny.
Block that guy's text.
I can't. I don't think we can do that. There's some other people on there I'd love to block, but I just ignore them. All right, we come back. We will get into actual Titans football talk. Carson is going to go through an exercise that Robbie and I did. We'll see what he comes up with. Robbie and Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Show. And let me let you know that The Game Nashville Sports Network is your home for NASCAR racing. 94.9 The Fan will have live coverage of the NASCAR Craftsman Truck Series race, fresh from Florida 250 tonight at 6 p.m. Tomorrow, catch the NASCAR Xfinity Series race, United Rentals 300, starting at 3:30 p.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rector, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Big Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. And, man, some Hall & Oates jamming right now, PK.
So Colin Coward says the Rams want the number 3 pick from the Giants for Matthew Stafford.
Colin Coward is reporting this.
Colin Coward. He says the Rams like Stafford.
When the last time he got info?
He gets info once in a while. He said the Rams like Stafford, but they're tiring of the constant quarterback talk. His wife saying things publicly. They like him, but they don't want to restructure his deal and give him a big contract. They're going to make a move, I believe, on Matt Stafford. What the Rams want, I'm told they want the Giants' first-round pick at 3. Then I've read some other stuff that says what they do with 3 is look to move down. And they'd be patient about a quarterback for next year.
That's wild.
This would screw – the reason I'm bringing it up is it would screw the Titans right. with the Giants as a – potential trade-up partner. And this is a Giants kind of move.
And obviously there's the whole connection that everybody's been talking about with Stafford's
brother-in-law assistant quarterback coach.
With the Giants. So I just – the thing about that one that's hard for me to buy is the Rams.
It's expensive.
The
man.
Rams doing that and just being willing to suck this year.
It's
you know?
Expensive for well, I think McVay's got the I can win with anybody kind of thing a little bit. And
really? Because what worked for him was Goff's good, but that guy's better. I'm gonna go do that and win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But
right.
Now he thinks he can win with anybody.
Well, I just think they could be in a reset. You know, they're gonna trade Cup. They're in a little bit of a pause, but I think they think they can compete in pause mode in a bad division and have a one-year reset and be good again in a year.
That's really interesting because, also gave the Eagles the best game the Eagles had on the way to the championship in Philly.
Giants giving up 3 for a 37-year-old would just be short-sighted.
It's more Jets-like, really. But I guess both of them kind of deserve that now, right?
Yeah. And that's a team with a desperate GM trying to – he's got to win right now and can't be patient. And
I can't see them doing that. I mean, that would be – that's too expensive.
So that's a wild one.
I'd counter with my second. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing. And I know Easton Freeze wrote this, A to Z Sports, about, you know, could the Titans use 35? Would that be enough to get Stafford here? Not a first-round pick, but close to a first-round pick. It's awfully close to a first-round pick. Like, would that be enough, you know, to move the Rams? Now, if you're the Rams and you're like, well, we can get three for him? Oh, okay, well.
I really, my stance on all of this is for anybody old that can't give up any draft capital. So the bridgey type of guy they're going to get is going to be less talented than the guys that cost draft capital. And they're going to sign somebody who ends up on the market and deal with it and either draft somebody this year or just wait a year and endure, you know, hopefully better than last year quarterbacking, but still not great quarterbacking, while they try to build up the roster around it and look to make a move next year. It's vague who that would be, but thinking that there's a better pool of options next year.
Yeah. I mean, I tend to agree, like, don't give up valuable draft capital right now in the position you're in. It's just kind of the question of how good do you think he is, how long do you think he has, and how close, like we talked about yesterday, okay, this team was 3-14. Were they really? Is it a 3-14 roster? Is it really a 7-10 roster? No. That went 3-14.
I mean, it's not a 7-10 roster. Maybe a four or five win roster.
But I wouldn't do it.
But I mean, you can't come in. What message does it send if you come in? The talk is all about draft and develop and get a lot of picks, and then you say, but for this 34-year-old quarterback, we thought giving up a second-round pick was the prudent thing to do for a two-year guy.
Yeah.
After we already gave up our third. And so we're going to pick first round and fourth round.
A lot of mixed messages. But that's kind of been the thing with them, right?
Right. I mean, they would be being consistent with what they've been rather than changing their stripes.
Yes.
So if we're expecting a change of stripes, I just can't see them doing it.
Yeah.
They got to gather picks, not give them up.
So we know quarterback. We know offensive line. We talked about both those a lot today. I'd like to hear from you in you know, most pressing all the way down, the position groups. Because here's a position group we never talk about linebacker, you know? I mean, like, to me, linebacker is obviously it's not a premium position. You know, it's not one of those. It often doesn't move the needle. But it's funny when you look around the league at what a difference good inside linebackers can make for teams and what a difference bad ones can make for teams. But that's just one example. So,
I mean, this team tight had Avery Williamson.
We never talk about tight end. I think that they really need to help themselves at tight end. They need to get better at tight end. They're not good enough at tight end.
Here's another position. Like, they don't have a second safety right now, and Hooker is heading into his last year of his deal.
Yeah.
Where's the safety of the future? He's nowhere on this roster.
Okay, so rank them for me.
In a position where, like, a normal team would have its spreadsheet and be thinking, like, if you had any kind of established team and you could look a year out, you'd be saying, we need a safety this year to play special teams and inherit a spot next year. Mm-hmm. This team needs a safety for this year to play next to Hooker and can't even be thinking about the Hooker spot until next year when if you can't re-sign Hooker,
right,
or you decide that Hooker's done, then you're in desperation mode at safety. It can't even think about the 2026 roster. I mean, the priorities are obvious. I mean, quarterback's number one to a degree, but I think there may be an element of patience there. Offensive line's been a problem for too long. You got to fix the offensive line, number one. And edge is pathetic. I mean, they're putting people on the field at edge. Allie Gay, I mean, can't do anything. Can't do anything. And it's, there's not upside there. You don't look at him and say, well, here's a guy that's going to develop and turn into something. I don't think so. It's a guy.
Yeah. How much more does Harold Landry have left? What if Harold Landry gets a good young edge on the other side of him?
I think Harold Landry might be done. I hate to say it.
Done.
I love Harold Landry. I mean, he's pretty far removed from that knee and didn't show much burst at all. And then you look at a breakdown of his sacks last year. I mean, he had 9. One of them was like a beat your man and go get the quarterback sack, like an outright
one of the 9
win.
One of the 9?
Yeah.
There's probably, I mean, you could probably find some, you know, you could find, it's just like interceptions, you know, like you could make excuses on a lot of interceptions for a lot of QBs, right, if you wanted to, but if you make the play, you make the play. If you don't, yeah, you don't.
And
right?
There are probably other times where he beat his man and something happened that
the ball came out
and yeah, the quarterback escaped in an unnatural way.
But you think he might be done. Well, if that's the case, they're really in trouble.
Yeah. No, I think they're really – I think Harold Landry cannot be their number one pass rusher next year. And I think there's a situation where for $17 million, he's not on the team next year, or he's asked to take a pay cut, and maybe he does, but he's not a $17 million player, even if he's back towards the better version of Harold Landry. It's too much money for a guy that's not going to be your number one rusher. So I think they have to get a premier guy, and they've got to get a second guy as well. And Arden Key is a better option as your third than Harold Landry based on how they played last year.
Wow, that's a hot take. All right, we'll get to other position when we come back. Robbie Rexha, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Tune in tonight, folks, to 102.5, The Game for Vanderbilt baseball. Commodores face Grand Canyon. Pregame begins at 6:30 p.m. First pitch at 7. Coverage also available on the 102.5, The Game app and at thegamenashville.com. It's just like with a lot of things, PK. I'm not ready. We're all ready for football when it comes, but I'm not ready for like basketball and hockey when they come. I'm not ready. I'm not ready for college baseball when it starts out. You know, I'm often not ready for these things, but it is starting. So get excited. And Vanderbilt should be great this year. Tennessee, defending national champ, should be a fun year.
I'm ready for MLB baseball.
Yes, pitchers and catchers
are in.
They've reported, at least at some places. Yes.
My place.
My Tigers did not sign Alex Bregman. Very disappointing.
Sign Gleyber Torres. Have fun with that.
Yeah.
Watch the guy stand.
Yeah. Well, maybe.
Good at standing.
Maybe that Detroit work ethic will rub off on him. You know, we'll see. Yeah.
Yankees don't work.
Yeah, they're white collar. Soft team. Okay, so
soft team went to the World Series.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it happens. That's, again, I was waiting for the team to be like, you know, our identity is we're a white collar, fancy, skilled kind of soft team. But you know, we're just more talented than you. Like everybody's got to be, you know, blue collar. We outwork you. Like, why can't your identity just be that you're like really talented and you're just better?
Well, because it had a guy like Gleyber Torres who's not really talented.
Well, that's true, I guess.
Maybe now we could go that direction.
Yeah, there you go.
Rid of him.
Okay, so edge, obviously, you know, we have not gotten into receiver, tight end.
It's a problem.
Inside linebacker. Receiver, tight end, inside linebacker. Special teams.
I don't think you can spend much at inside linebacker. I mean, maybe you trade out Kenneth Murray, who – you know, it's making, I think, $7 million, which is steep for what Kenneth Murray brings. And Nick Bolton is a free agent who Borgonzi knows well.
Very good player.
I don't know how much he brings, but he would be a real. Monty Rice, who your guy drafted, they had a nice.
He wasn't a J-Rob?
Yeah, your
guy. Oh, that's my guy. That's right. I forgot. J-Rob's my guy.
So they had a nice trend going. They had Avery Williamson and Jayon Brown and David Long, and then they kept getting around higher and around higher and around higher, and they concluded with Monty Rice, who is a bust.
Yeah, total bust.
And so their inside linebackers are very questionable now, and they need some of these guys to pan out. Cedric Gray really needs to pan out.
Is there any indication James from anyone Williams. You've talked to, anything you've seen, anything you've heard that Cedric Gray, that we should just forget last year? I mean, obviously he was hurt, that there's something there.
Well, I mean, that's you call it a redshirt year, you know, with a guy like that, and hope it takes off. But not from anything we've seen, no. I mean, they talk about him fondly at the end of the year. You know, made progress, blah, blah, blah. Didn't see it in what he did.
He's an important, you know, because that's
– If he can
he's
be
an important
a guy,
yeah.
Yeah, then they don't have to worry about that spot as much. You know, Chance Campbell will come back before he gets hurt again, and have a good training camp.
He's a good player when he's not hurt. But
yeah,
he's
but
hurt.
I mean, he's never, literally never not been hurt
you
to
still
play any kind of meaningful games.
You still haven't mentioned Dr. Jack. No mention? No love?
I mean, Gibbons will go out there and he'll play a couple good games, and everybody will be like, oh, Dr. Gibby, he's so smart and everything. And then teams will start to pick at him, and you realize that he can't, you know, as smart as he is to be where he needs to get, he gets there late. Because he doesn't have the physical skills. They need to move on from people like that.
So we agree, like, absolute DEFCON 1 on O-line, edge, quarterback. So,
and look,
so
they don't have receivers on the roster. Calvin Ridley is the only guy worth a damn who's under contract at receiver.
So significant, and significant can be money. It can be draft capital. Receiver, inside linebacker, safety, as you mentioned. And let's say also tight end.
Yeah.
What are you
gotta be at the top. I mean, receivers got to be at the top because they who's under contract? Ridley, Jaquan Jackson, NWI's not under contract.
You think he's going to move on?
Well, I mean, I think if you
he
let
might
him
have done
get
enough
to the market,
to actually get some interest.
Yeah, somebody's going to be like, hey, we need a touchdown scorer, and this guy just scored like a ridiculous amount of touchdowns per touches
for a team that doesn't score touchdowns.
Yes. Vrabes, you know, isn't going to overpay, but I think he'd take a look. New England's got wide receiver problems. And if you let him go, then you've created another hole for yourself. So I'm trying to think who else is under contract there. Am I forgetting anybody?
No one that, like, I mean.
No yeah, one that's of
yeah.
substance.
I mean, some people are going to be, like, you know, excited.
Oh, Burks is under contract.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he'll do the same thing. He'll come to camp, and they'll tell us how great he is, and something will
don't
happen.
You, think
you can't
could,
count on him at all.
I've got him as a cut. You don't think so?
Yeah, at the end of camp.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's $4 million in dead money if you cut him pre-June 1. I mean, yeah, I don't know. It seems to me like.
Is he healthy by then? I mean, you can't cut him hurt.
Yeah.
He's recovering from an ACL.
Yeah,
so.
That's true. But it just seems like for both sides to stop even worrying about him, and for him, maybe, I'm sure he'll go somewhere else and score 8 touchdowns next year.
I mean, who was saying that he was Reggie Moss? Randy Moss?
Moss. He is Reggie Moss.
Reggie Wayne and Randy Moss. They were calling him a combination.
The
of,
next Reggie Moss. He's a good receiver for Incarnate Word.
Well, I mean, I said that, obviously making a mistake, but they were saying things like he's a combination. I can't remember who was.
Randy Moss. I never heard that with Burks.
I mean, no. I'm just picking random good receivers. But yeah. They were throwing out names of ridiculously good receivers and saying that they saw. I think like Condre Diggs was throwing out super compliments.
I mean, look, before the Titans made the, you know, franchise killing trade of AJ Brown, like all the draft people were comparing him to AJ Brown. And that was the default comp of that draft class.
Well, that's fine that he was well regarded coming in the draft. But we're not listening to any of this BS where the Titans are going to fluff up bad players and tell us that they're getting good. And they may do that with Cedric Gray, and Cedric Gray's got a chance. But you know when I'll believe that Cedric Gray's good? When I see him do something good in a regular season game. And people are going to write these stories in training camp. Oh, in OTAs. Cedric Gray, second year revolution, looks really good. And I'm going to come on here on Wednesday and make fun of that story. And I ain't writing it. I ain't writing it about anybody because I've fallen for this stuff too much.
Justin from Nashville says, was it D-Hop? Was it D-Hop saying some of this stuff? I mean,
D-Hop said some of it, but some non-receivers were saying it. Some defenders were saying it.
So that's obviously, no question, because they don't even have, like, at some of the positions we mentioned, like at tight end, they have guys who you can play. You can go out there and play. At linebacker, same thing. At receiver and safety, really, like there's just no depth. There's no like you have to you have to do a lot of work in both of those rooms. And I am, like, Amani Hooker, he's had very few fully healthy seasons. Like, you can pretty much count on a few games of every season he's going to be out, right? And how much is – I mean, that is
– He's a good player. He's been a good player.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I mean
– And he brings some quieter leadership. Mm-hmm. Here's the quote.
But you do have to have his replacement. You have to start lining that up.
Yeah. Here's the quote. It was Calvin Ridley. "This dude is a freak," Ridley said of Burks. Like, seriously, bro.
Ridley, I remember
He's going to be a stud. There's no worries on him. What I see, he's like Julio Jones, A.J. Brown. He's like Terrell Owens, a dude that big, that fast. He's a stud, man. You ain't got to worry about him. He's just got to learn. Slow that game down. He's going to be all right. You ain't got to – I'm now repeating. You ain't got to worry about him. Let me tell you something about
– T.O.
Let me tell you something about Burks. You've got to worry about him constantly. Constantly. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. Like, I think it'd be better for them to just not have to worry about him because he's somewhere else.
I would get rid of him just so people would stop saying ridiculous things about him.
I mean,
I would put a gag order on the team in talking about Treylon Burks, coaches included. All you do is kill the guy by pumping up his tires like this.
I'm still not sure that's as bad as Beyer. What did Beyer say about Anthony Firkser? He said something about Firkser. I always forget it, but it was like he's like the next difference-making tight end in the NFL or something like that. Oh, my gosh.
This is how delusional the organization is. I mean, this is representative of the organization. It's got blinders on, and it looks at a guy like Treylon Burks, who clearly is not this, and it sees Terrell Owens.
Speaking of delusional and you yelling, we're going to have Jared Stillman coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.